This is the Creating the Future podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan Krause. On today's episode, we're going to talk about how math builds with Eddie Dooley and Maude Shady. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So tell us about your math teacher journeys. You've been teaching for a good handful of years, and then how you ended up here at Tucson Country Day School.
So after graduating the University of Arizona, I moved up to Prescott for a couple of years where I taught seventh grade math. And after Prescott, I moved back to Tucson and I worked for TUSD for a few years, actually with Mrs. Shady at Alice Vale. And I was with TUSD until I received a phone call from Mrs. Shady suggesting that I should look into this opportunity at Tucson Country Day School. And at the time, I was pretty set in my career, but it didn't take very long for me to, for us to be meeting and then for us to be touring the school. And I've been here ever since.
Yeah, there we go. Maude, way to go. Way to bring us Eddie.
Well done, Maude.
Well, for me, I started my career in Sweden where I taught science to start with. And then I also taught math there. And then eventually I moved to the United States and I worked at Sunnyside and TUSD. So my son went to summer adventures here. I'll say it again.
Yeah, no, camp adventure.
Camp adventure here. And he did that for a few years. And I got a little peek into this school. And I kind of like the culture here. But I still worked at TUSD. And then I saw that there was an opening here for a math teacher. And I just jumped on it, and here I am ever since. That was 2019.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to have the. We're really lucky to have the two of you here, because math in the middle school in particular can be intimidating. In fact, I've known many elementary teachers who say the reason I'm an elementary teacher is because I don't feel comfortable above fifth grade math, right? So the two of you teach what I think many people see as like this daunting subject. But the two of you, as we'll talk here in a little bit, I think present it in a way that's really palatable and like approachable for middle school students, which is great. So I've been teaching for a while, different districts, different countries, different cities. So what have those experiences teaching in different schools for a number of years taught you about what learning math should and shouldn't look like? Break that down for us a little bit.
Well, in my experience, math should not be like it used to be. We sit in a room and it's a long lecture and then you have some worksheet to fill out. Students absolutely learn best when they have some hands-on activities. That's when they remember what they learned. And it's really important that they feel successful in whatever they do in math. That's how they build on their learning. And it becomes meaningful when they have a project where they can apply their skills and they see how it actually works in real life.
Mm. Eddie, how about you?
Yeah, and beyond just the projects, which are incredibly important for the kids to be working on, we try to allow them to experience the math content first before they get the explanation. So instead of the lecture and the practice and the lecture and the practice and the memorization, we try to let the students experience the different types of concepts and build their own connections to the curriculum and the content they need to be learning.
So what would be an example of a student experiencing a concept before you explain it, right? Like that's the traditional approach is like, okay, listen to me, explain it. I'm going to show you how to do it. Now you basically copy that, and that kind of ping pong approach goes back and forth. So how does this experience before explanation concept actually look like? Like, give us a practical example.
For example, my eighth graders, they just before winter break started here, they had a little project where they had to select a couple of destinations in the world where they wanted to go on vacation, and they were going to figure out the average of the daily cost and the plane tickets and things like that. And they had to graph the whole scenario. but they had to have two different locations or destinations, I should say. And when they graphed that, of course, those two lines would intersect. And they have learned about graphing, but they don't know what systems of equations are. But now, when we come back after winter break, when they start learning about systems of equations, they can look back at that, and they already know how to solve the system of equation one of the three ways.
Because they have that experience of
yes.
solving some kind of like a real-world problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. How about you, Eddie, in your class? Like, what does experience before explanation look like?
Sure. So, for example, something as simple as learning about like benchmark percentages. So being able to find 10%, 1%, 100% of a number, percentages that we work with every day in real life. You know, rather than teach that process right away, we could start off class with just an image that shows, okay, 100% of 87 is 87, 10% of 87 is 8.7, 1% is blank, right? So instead of learning the process, the kids come in and they're identifying patterns, and they're saying, okay, how do we go from 100% of a number to 10% of a number? And then they apply that to come up with 1% of the number.
And why is that a beneficial approach? Again, you've taught multiple different schools, kind of a traditional versus kind of what we're doing here. Like why that experience before explanation approach?
Because a lot of their learning is what they did on their own. They figured it out rather than somebody just told them.
Yeah, and middle school in particular,
mm-hmm.
I feel like students, you know, if they can do it themselves, they want to do it themselves, and they don't want to be told how to do it.
Yeah. Right? Yes, that's true.
That's awesome. Projects. Y'all are always building something, making something. So tell us about how the two of you have helped build a PBL, project-based learning culture, in the middle school. Tell us about some of the projects that y'all have done in the past, and maybe even what you're working on now and what you're looking at in the future.
So, we have a pretty big, beautiful campus here, right? I mean, 10 or 11 acres looking at. And so there's a lot of space for opportunities. And one of those spaces that we looked at was behind our classrooms. It was just kind of an unused space.
And just nothing there, but still plenty of room to do something.
Yeah. And so we've thought, well, maybe we can extend the classrooms out back and make a project out of it and have the kids design and build a deck.
Yes. And so we did. So we had the kids look into it, and they all just dove right into it, and they did some research. What kind of deck can we have? What materials do we need? What would it cost? And then they all made really nice drawings and blueprints, and they had to present it for the rest of the kids in different classes. And all the students, they got a vote. So we got their favorite. And then after that, they pretty much built it all on their own.
It's amazing. So you got two decks, two learning patios back there.
Mm-hmm.
So students use those now, what, up to like four at a time?
Yep.
Usually on those decks.
We've got some tables out there.
Yeah. And they really like sitting out there. It gives them extra space, and they like being outside learning.
So what kind of math goes into a project like that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a cool experience, because the kids just think they're building something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, in reality, they're looking at cost and cost analysis and learning about proportional relationships.
Geometry. Measurements. Precision. It's a lot of math in building a deck, for sure.
Yeah, and it's all practical
graphing,
math.
Yep. Tables. It's a lot.
So talk to us about the non-math, if you will, skills that you see students build through projects like that. So yes, they're applying these math skills, math concepts, but they're also like working together and having to communicate and demonstrate patience and learn how to lead and maybe learn how to follow. Like, So a project like that patio where students are building, they're using geometry, price analysis. There's also a lot of, I guess what we call like soft skills in there where they're learning how to listen, collaborate, have some grit, some perseverance. Talk to us about how you've seen projects like that bring out more than just good math in your students.
The collaboration, as you talk about, is so extremely important. It's a skill that the future is asking for. If you can't collaborate, you're not going to get much done. It's good extremely luck, yeah. important. So when the kids work on their projects, it is really interesting to see how even the ones that are a little shy, they all have their skill to apply to their team. Hmm. Hmm. Isn't that right, Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and beyond just collaboration, it also allows or provides an opportunity for leadership roles. And so you have these students that kind of step up into roles that maybe they wouldn't naturally be in the classroom. And kind of they just take charge of groups, and it's neat to see some of that growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cool thing about projects is, as a teacher, you get to see your students in a different light, right?
Right.
When it's yes. more student-centered and student-driven, and when you give kids an opportunity to like make some choices, you learn something about your students,
right?
As you observe that all unfold. So the patio project, that was really one of our first big
it was
PBL units mm-hmm. here, which is awesome. That was back in what,
2020,
3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So what are we currently working on? Let's talk about some projects that have happened maybe within the last year and or what we're working on now.
Currently, we are working on a geometrical garden. The students are actually going to create a garden area where the plan is that they will build, calculate, of course, a lot of calculations, but they will build big containers where they're going to be placed in this garden area, and they're going to fill them with soil and plants. And there are 6 different geometrical shapes included here. Hmm. And we have a 7th grade class working on that right now.
Yeah, and you know, it was a use of space that our campus provides. It was another mm-hmm. space that was unused, and we thought, oh, we could do a project here, and we're kind of looking around. And so, yeah, we thought, you know, we have another garden on campus. Why not have a math garden as well? So
you can never have too many.
Right. So, yeah, the garden of geometry. And,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be a space that the kids will build raised garden beds out of different geometric figures, prisms. And they did, but like Mrs. Shady said, we went through a lot of calculations ahead of time, and, you know, conversion of units and pricing different materials out, lumber and soil, and, mm-hmm. you know, having to convert the cubic yards of soil into cubic feet. And, you know, it's kind of neat because we do so much of ratios and proportions and looking at unit rates and per one. And so when they end up doing some of those calculations, they say, well, how do I figure this out? How do I figure out per one? And then we can kind of tie it back to something that we've done already in the classroom. And it ends up being pretty great.
Be honest here. Your kids, they got to enjoy this, right? When you think about like that traditional math classroom that they could be in if they were at like a neighboring school where it's, you know, kind of worksheet teacher driven, like, do you see your kids for the most part enjoy class?
I think they love these projects.
Yes, I think so too. And once they are involved in the projects, they typically feel successful. And if you feel successful in math, it feels pretty good.
Mm. Yeah, that's huge. Gives confidence, right? No, that's great. Future projects. Because I know that you all are always scoping out areas on our campus and thinking about how to use math to build. So what are some things that you're maybe projecting down the road later this year, next year, beyond?
Well, we had plans for building a compost for campus. We thought that would be a great thing to have. We would have it probably in the garden area. I'm not 100% clear on that, but a compost would benefit our school community. And it would be very useful because we would take care of all the food that being wasted. And down the road, later on, it's a process, of course, we could use that soil for the garden.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Fun.
Yeah, bring it all the way back around and bring all of that rich soil and compost to the Garden of Geometry.
So, Eddie, you are our A-team soccer coach.
Yes.
And use our field often. Yes. I don't know, you talked about a scoreboard, maybe, which I think is a pretty cool idea. Like, just talk to us for that. Talk to us about that for a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, for volleyball and for basketball, all in the kind of the gym area, the activity center, there's an electronic scoreboard. And so we thought, well, maybe soccer's missing out a little bit. So the possibility of either in a math class, or we also have the woodworking club here too, maybe building some kind of neat wooden structure, like an old school scoreboard.
Yes. Like a Wrigley Field, right? Fenway, kind of like there's somebody up there changing the numbers.
Yeah, manually pulling the numbers down.
Yeah, and the kids will love that too.
Right.
And soccer should have it too. Why not?
Yeah, yeah. And flag football, right?
And flag football too, field. Right? Yeah.
Oh, those would be cool projects. So how have you seen the PBL approach to math benefiting the student experience at school and here at TCDS?
Well, as we said earlier, when the kids are involved in different projects and they get to use their hands on things and build things and build it to connect it to real life, they understand things better.
Mm. Yeah, the projects, they just create meaningful experiences and experiences that they'll never forget. You know, all of our students who worked on that deck, they have a legacy here at TCDS and stories to share as they get older.
A sense of ownership, right? Like, I did that. I remember
right.
that. Like, who's going to remember a work packet, right, that they were force-fed?
Right, yeah. Right. You know,
versus, and we have students who come back, right, a year or two down the road. What a neat feeling to walk back and see the thing I had a hand in grow and it's still there. Or those that are, still come here on a day-to-day basis, like they take ownership of our campus. And I mean, I know I've seen it where, you know, the campus looks really great. And I think that's largely because of all the cool things students and classes are doing around campus. And like, they want to take care of it. Right. And there's that pride aspect. And I feel like that's missing in a lot of schools because it's pretty teacher centric. It's pretty school directed. Mm-hmm. And so it's very, then as a result becomes very compliance driven versus empowering kids to create something that didn't exist before, which like triggers the heart and mind in a really, you know, unique, special way. And I think that's great that the two of you are using math again, as I said before, traditionally speaking, sort of an intimidating subject for both adults and for students, and make it into something that helps kids feel successful, take ownership, learn how to collaborate. I think it's a wonderful thing. So appreciate what the two of you are doing here and using math to build. And we'll have to have you on again to reflect on some of these future projects and current projects that are happening. So Mr. Dooley, Ms. Shady, appreciate you both. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.